Hey everybody, welcome back to Negro Please Radio. I'm your host Chris Allen. How's everybody doing? Glad to be back. As always, I want to thank each and every last one of you guys for taking the time out to listen to my podcast. I appreciate it. So please tell a friend, tell a coworker, neighbor, enemy, tell someone, help me grow my podcast. Sorry if I sound a little weird, a little sexy. I just woke up and I'm still kind of tired. But a lot has changed. Sorry I missed yet another week or two. I've been super busy. And from here on out, I absolutely have no excuse. I guess I'll get into that. But I typically start off with my milestone. And for those who don't know, I have a six-year-old son. His name is Miles. And I like to kind of document different milestones or achievements or just different things that he's into, thus milestones. His thing now is he actually likes to play my Xbox, which makes me feel good. I'm trying to introduce him into some like fighting games, but he's obsessed with Minecraft at the time, and he just likes to build stuff all day long. And I don't get to use my TV anymore. So that's something new in my life. Before it was the iPad. Now it's all about the Xbox and Minecraft. And he's only six, so I'll try to get him into some other games. But I'm glad he's playing video games now. Makes me feel good. I don't know why, because I was a huge video game nerd as a kid. And to see him finally pick it up and starting to do other things. Oh, you know what, too? He's obsessed with office supplies. Like, I mean, obsessed. He likes to look at the toys and all this kind of stuff, but, and you know, he thinks they're cool, but he really, really enjoys, like, the oohs and ahs come from the office supply aisles at Walmart or Target. It's just like he's more into pencils and pens and markers and books and notebooks and just sketch pads. He's into that. So he's always writing books and shit. He's probably got about 20 books in the works. So I don't know if he's going to be a writer. I would really like to write something with him. If I could find an illustrator, it would be fun to kind of, you know, because he likes geography. I was thinking about maybe doing like a, you know, Dad and Miles travel the world and just kind of do a little quick little travel kids book with him and maybe pick a couple states and identify some landmarks or huge attractions of the state. And I think that could be cool. So that's a long-term project I would love to work on with my boy and write this kid's book with him. But, all right. So, like I said, a lot has changed. My life has changed. I'm in a huge transition at this point. It's nothing bad. Don't think like, oh my God, his marriage is over. No. It feels like I've been hiding it, but I just try to separate the two. I really want to be a full-time, a well-respected comic. And for the last 20 years, I've been, for the last 10 years, I've been very limited on what I could do comedy-wise because I was still serving active duty in the Air Force, and that finally came to an end on December 3rd. So I finally retired, and now I can go full bore at comedy. And I'm excited. I'm scared, but it's finally over. It's been a long road. It's been a tough road, but it was time to go. To be honest, it wasn't fun anymore. It was time to move on. I really enjoyed my time. But I really enjoyed the people I worked with. I had a few cool jobs. My last job was, I mean, it wasn't bad, but it wasn't for me. It was just kind of at your own pace, database entry updating kind of stuff. But I worked with a lot of great people. I had a good time. I could have done two more years, but I thought about what that would entail, and I really just I wasn't mentally willing to put up with it anymore. And so my family came down a couple weekends ago. It was great seeing everybody, my mom, dad, three of my sisters, their kids, my wife's family, her sisters, her nieces and nephews, my nieces and nephews from her side. They all came down, and we had a great time. I had a, now I can say, I guess a friend of mine come to preside over my ceremony. I work with him in Dayton, Ohio. Good guy, Major Cabetti. He was a captain at the time, and we worked together for about 3 years, and we had a lot of cool, great conversations. He really pushed me. He used to be a Marine, so he was kind of a hard ass, and he would always see me dicking off and fucking around, and he would always get me back on track. And we became, for what you can say, friends in the military, because you can't really be friends with officers if you're an enlisted person. But he was always a really nice person, great to talk to, very motivating, very honest. And he also became a fan of my comedy. And he always pushed me and encouraged me. He would come to shows and stuff. And to have him come preside over my ceremony and give a speech, which he killed at. And I had a great time, man. It was fun. I couldn't have asked for a better ceremony. Had some comic friends come out. My brother-in-law sang the national anthem. My parents presented me with a gift. I gave my wife a gift. I gave Miles a flag because he's really into the country flags and stuff. And it was a very emotional time. And I will admit, looking back, I really didn't allow myself to become as emotional as I felt at the time. So for like 2 days after the ceremony, I had a headache because I had so much pent up emotion that I just didn't release. It kind of manifested into a headache. And I did cry at the ceremony, but I held back so much. I didn't want to break down. So to be honest, I still really haven't released that emotion and relief, you know, because deep down inside, I literally wanted to just break down and get on my hands and knees and cry with joy because it was over. And not because I hated it or I didn't like it. It was just such a heavy burden. And you get so close to the end, and you just want it to be over. But I will miss it. You know, my financial situation definitely has changed. And I think my wife and I have prepared ourselves pretty well. We got to have a pretty solid plan, you know. And we plan on moving to Atlanta, Georgia, sometime this summer. So I'm looking forward to everything. So right now, for the next month or so, I'm kind of just chilling, and just trying to book gigs and see how far I can take this. So thanks to everybody who came out, who supported me throughout my entire career, military career, all my friends that I've met over the last 20 years. A lot of them are starting to retire now, if they hadn't got out already. But it was a cool ride, and I want to thank everybody for the support, and thank America for letting me defend their right to be whoever you want to be, even if I didn't agree. Hopefully I can't hear this phone moving around. I got a new phone finally, but I can't believe it's over. I remember, you know, summer of 98, after I enlisted, standing in my driveway like, I'm gonna do 4 years, I'll be 22, I'll get out, I'll go to college, and that's it. I'm gonna do 4 years and I'm done. And here I am 20 years later, retired, and it feels good. So yeah, this is the first time in my life I've been literally free to do whatever I want to do within reason. So I'm letting my hair grow. I'm growing a beard. So it feels good to be from under that thumb of rule and regulation. So again, last time, thanks everybody for all the years of support. And yeah, so I'm a civilian as of 1 January. So I can do whatever I want. And it's weird to be, you know, this age and finally I can be my own person and be myself and say things that I want to say. And yeah, got a goddamn pension check at 38. It's pretty wild. But yep. So I'm sitting here in Pittsburgh right now. I'm at the Improv with my buddy Mark Norman, and I'm standing at my buddy's house, a high school buddy, man. This has a beautiful home, man. Ladies, I get it, ladies. I get it. I mean, I walked into this dude's house, and I'm like, I want to have his baby. I get it now. When you see you walk into a guy's house, and it's just like, yeah, I want to marry this dude. This guy's got it together. I'm not even gay, and I'm like, I might sleep with him. I have to. It's too nice. It's a very modern rustic look. It's a beautiful three-story townhome with old-school brownstone that they remodeled. It's really nice. I'm proud of my friends, man. They're doing well, and he let me stay here, and I appreciate it. But to backtrack, the entertainment business is very weird. A lot of ups and downs, and a lot of no's, a lot of unexpected things. But a few weeks ago, Danny Shea, he runs the Southern. He's like, hey, man, we talked about Hannibal Buress coming, and I actually got him, and he's going to be coming November 30th. And I'm like, I would love to be on that show. He's just like, well, I'll see what happens. And, you know, he said he spoke to Hannibal's people, and he didn't hear anything. And then November 30th was my last day at work. And where I'm getting ready to go to my going away luncheon and stuff, and I get a text like, it's a picture, it's a text, but it's a picture of the email saying that I can open the show. So here I am, last day of being in uniform. I'm closing out my career, and I have this dreams and aspirations of doing something in comedy. And the day that door closes, my comedy window opens up, and boom, I get to open for Hannibal Buress. He's a huge influence on me. I've always been a huge fan. He just motivated me and inspired me to keep going. I was always self-conscious about my voice and how I sounded. And I remember hearing him like, man, this guy kind of sounds like me, this kind of weird, monotone, mumbly kind of voice. And I'm like, this guy is doing comedy that I like, because he's not a stereotypical urban act. He's not a high energy comic, and I always kind of felt like that was me, and I had a hard time fitting in and people telling me what I need to do. And here I see this weird, quirky, nerdy dude out of Chicago killing the game, and I'm like, you know what, if I continue to just keep doing what I'm doing, I'll be fine. So he was a huge inspiration for me, and I got to open for him at the Jefferson Theater in Charlottesville. 500 people there. Got to hang out with him before the show. Super cool. And yeah, it was just a huge moment. And yeah, I just, and people were happy for me. And it was such a great way to end my military career, so to speak. On with an opportunity like that, you know, because that door shut and I'm like, I don't really have much lined up. And then to have this huge opportunity to open for someone that I really look up to and aspire to have a career like was, I don't know, it's not photogenic or serendipitous. I don't know. It was just very, the timing was perfect. I'm dumb. I don't know the word. I know there's a perfect word for it. So that was the great kind of like retirement gift, if you will, to get to do that. And I had a great time. And I was hoping to get to hang out more after the show, but you can definitely tell he was tired, and I didn't want to be one of those openers trying to hang out, and he just wanted to hang out with Tony Trim, and like, thank God that they left. So I got a quick picture, said thanks again, and I got out of there. I didn't want to be annoying, because I've seen those guys hanging around after shows. I've been that guy before, and you're just so excited and you want to hang out, and you're just ignoring the red flag, the signs of like, hey, can you just leave? So I didn't want to get to that point at all. I had a good time, so I just bounced, and yeah, great night. What else did I do? Sorry for the pause. Last weekend, I was at the DC Improv. Roy Wood Jr. was in the main room. I was in the lounge. But Roy, he's a great dude. If you don't know, he's on the Daily Show. Check him out. Very funny. He has a special coming out in January. And he's such a great dude. He always takes the time out to give advice. You know, I don't message him very often, but whenever I do, I limit it to like, hey, you know, I got this kind of going on. What do you think? And it might take him a while, but he gets back, man. He gets back and he gives you solid advice. Dudes like that are very, very busy, but whenever you're with him, I mean, he just drops so much knowledge and like, you know, you work on this kind of stuff. Make sure you're doing this. And he's just a really attentive and just humble guy, and just very nice. He'll help any comic at any level, you know. And it's not just canned responses, which sometimes a canned response is just the best you can really do with people. Because honestly, it's just like some of these dudes get upset. It's like, I met this guy and all he said was this. It's like, well, he can't really tell you more than keep writing and getting up on stage as much as possible. I mean, unless you want them to sit down and watch a video and break down your jokes, it's like that's not gonna happen. But yeah, and I was on the show with Mia Jackson, another great comic out of Atlanta. She's got a special coming out in January, her half hour. I'm super happy for her, and it's fun working with and being around people who are doing the things that you want to do, because you get to hear about how it all came about and how they're preparing and how they feel and what it was like when they heard they got it. And I feel like it's just a good idea to really surround yourself with people doing the things that you want to do and people who are better at the thing you're doing than you are. And you get to see how they work and where you need to be to get to that level. So, yeah, I had a great weekend out there. And, yeah, I'm here currently in Pittsburgh. And but I'll talk about that next week. I gotta save something, but I guess I'll go on this quick rant. So I saw on Facebook that this guy posted a picture of on the subway. There's two women kind of sitting across from each other, but like one seat apart, kind of. They're kind of staggered opposite sides, and they both have their legs crossed, which would prevent him from like walking through. And he goes, you know, I hate this. This is kind of rude. I had to like walk through their legs like their turnstiles, and they didn't even move. And it's just funny to see like a lot of the women's responses, like, well, it's ingrained to us to cross our legs, and I feel safe, and you know, this, that, and the third. And then I finally saw the one that I was waiting to see, and if she's just like, oh wow, two women crossed their legs. What about all the guys that man spread? What about that? These two, it's just like, you know what? Rude is just rude. I'm pretty sure 98% of the guys that are quote unquote man spreading aren't trying to say, hey women, fuck you. It's just, that's just how they sit. Why can things be ingrained in women and it's just okay, or it makes them feel safe, or society made them do this? But if a dude is sitting with his legs open, it's somehow a personal attack on women and femininity, and it makes you feel, you know, hey, come over here and suck. It's just like, I don't understand. I don't understand that. I'm pretty sure just as many women cross their legs as the dudes man spread on the subway. But somehow when you do it, your thing is different. You got to think about this, and all it means nothing, and we're blown out of proportion. It's like, well, how come you can't admit that maybe you're blowing man spreading out of proportion? Just say, hey, man, would you mind closing your legs? Because your knee's on my knee. Or like, can I sit here? It's just like you're eating up too much space. Just like, hey, lady, would you mind uncrossing your legs so I can get by and not bump knees, or I can't get my bag through? It's rude. It's just rude. Rude is just rude. Now, I hate these fucking super liberal people who it's just like, oh, there's gender is a it's a social construct. It's not a real thing. But then it's like, how can you say that but then also be a feminist? It's like, I thought gender wasn't real. Then you want to talk about how society ingrained shit in women. I thought gender really wasn't a thing. I thought it was all fake and all made up. I thought you want to go against what society was trying to ingrain in you. Don't cross your legs then. This is like you pick and choose when this shit is convenient for you to, oh, society says, oh, society. I don't get it. That's why I hate this shit. But way to bring it down on a sour note on the end. But there's a show. That's a show. Thanks for listening. Thanks for everybody's support. See you next week. Peace.